It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome, everyone, to Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast, Senior Manager of Digital Media Content for the Atlanta Braves. We've got a great show for you today. Today, as this show is being released, it is March 8th, 2024. This is International Women's Day. And here in the Braves front office, speaking for myself, I mean, I am extremely lucky and fortunate to be able to work alongside so many amazingly talented and hardworking women. So with knowing that we were going to put a show out on this day, on International Women's Day, I wanted to interview one of the many great and hardworking women here in the office. And Jory Palmer is today's guest. She is Director of Marketing and Advertising for the Braves, and she's somebody that I work with on a daily basis. We've worked together for, gosh, going back a number of years now, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. And just love working with Jory. She is such a huge part of the marketing team here, such a huge part of the Atlanta Braves front office. And thought it was time that Braves Country and our Behind the Braves listeners got to know Jory a little bit. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Here she is, Jory Palmer. Well, I'm fortunate that I always get to talk to ball players. I get to talk to famous fans. But my favorite thing on Behind the Braves is when I get to interview one of my coworkers. That's my favorite thing. And that is the case today. Director of Marketing and Advertising, somebody I work with every day, Jory Palmer is here. Jory, thank you for, first of all, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here and to come into my, this is an office, but the more I look around, the more stuff I have, it's kind of like they gave a 12-year-old an office, but thank you for coming in here. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, Ricky. Thanks for having me. At least you've got your bobbleheads out of the box. Mine are still in the box in my office. So yeah, I got to work on that.
Well, I'm helping support you in your great promotional efforts and all of the bobbleheads that you lead us on every year and
come up with.
So just putting your fine work on display.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, let's before we get into your background, how you got here and all that, I know no two typical days for any of us are the same.
Right.
Working in sports, in baseball. I think probably folks on the outside looking in probably think they are because it's 162 games. So yeah, there are elements that are kind of similar from day to day, but no two days really are alike. But to the best of your ability, what does a typical day look like for you as Director of Marketing and Advertising for the Braves?
Yeah, it's a great question. You're absolutely right that no two days are the same. I kind of break it up by kind of cycles for the season. So first quarter is really heavy, media planning and advertising heavy. So we like to buy as much of our advertising upfront as we can. So if you're driving down the road, you know, when the season starts or during the summer and you see billboards or you're just on YouTube, you know, checking out videos and you see a Braves ad or you're on Facebook, like that's what our team does. So we try to plan out as much as we can right now so that we know, okay, we're going to lead up to a big opening homestand push. Eventually we'll roll out an all-star campaign that'll dovetail into hopefully a postseason campaign. So we're constantly just kind of thinking of, all right, which campaigns are coming up that we need to prep for, whether it's the Hank Aaron bobblehead on April 8th, how can we make that really fun and exciting for our fans and get them really into it and wanting to come to that game. And then we're, you know, always keeping tabs on, you know, what campaigns are currently going, how are we monitoring those, looking at reporting, and then, you know, thinking even longer term ahead, you know, from a, you know, the other big part of my job is the promotion. So, you know, what bobbleheads or giveaways do we want to do, and kind of learning how long of a lead process you need to brainstorm those ideas, visualize them, concept them, and then work with the factories to have them produced and sent here by next year. So, you know, each day you're just kind of triaging it into what must get done today. And then how do I prepare the best I can for next week and the week after. And I'm really lucky to have an awesome team who keeps me, you know, keeps me on the rails and tells me where I need to be when, because things do get crazy. So big shout out to John Moses and Katie Kovacs, who, you know, make me seem less frazzled than I really am.
Triaging is such a great way to describe it.
Yes.
That's how I think I attack every day for me too. And same with me and Victoria and Becca, who kind of keep me on the rails as well. But that is such a perfect description of it. It's I everything is digital, obviously. Everything is computerized, as a Virginian like me might say. But I still do the old school practice every day of an old just school. That's right here, actually, just a legal pad, where I begin the day with my list of things that need to be done that day. And then throughout the day, we're not even to lunch yet, and I've already got scribbles all over it. Yep. But that's where I get started to at least try to keep me on track the other day, because there's just so many different things. One thing I've always been curious about, and this was something I always wondered about going back years ago when I still lived in Virginia, me and my buddies would come down once or twice a year for a weekend of Braves games. I always kind of got excited, like, because this is my one or two time, like, annual pilgrimage here to Atlanta to watch the Braves. Just seeing, like, a billboard somewhere in Charlotte or, my wife and I were going to Nashville last summer, and I got, like, it was exciting to be driving through Chattanooga, and I looked up, and there was a Braves Braves billboard. With such a huge footprint, how do you figure out, like, all right, we're going to put billboards here, we're going to have radio ads here, we're going to have a Facebook ad that these folks can see? How in the world do you manage all that with such a, I mean, Braves country is massive. It's the biggest in American professional sports. So how do you figure all that out?
It is a big, big task. So I have counterparts at other teams like the Washington Nationals or the San Diego Padres, who have much smaller territories than we do. And they're like, how do you do it? How do you cover six states? And I'm like, you know, it's a good thing that I'm good at spending money. You know, that is what I can do. So, you know, we work really closely with our business intelligence team to take a look at where are these kind of hot pockets, like where are fans watching us? Where are they following us on social? Where are they driving in from and coming to games? So we kind of know the Chattanoogas, the Charlottes, the Nashvilles, but even, you know, Augusta, Macon, Columbus, Greenville, Birmingham, like we've got fans everywhere. So we try and go into local markets and kind of have that presence, whether it's a billboard, whether it's a Braves country road trip stop. And we've been fortunate to find partners who, you know, will work with us and give us some effective kind of media buys and deals, because they understand that we are one sports team, but we have a huge territory to cover. So digitally, you can do that easier. You know, it's much cheaper to run a Facebook campaign and target it to specific states or specific markets than, you know, going in and doing a terrestrial radio buy with certain stations. But, you know, in certain markets, we really feel like making that additional investment and having that physical, you know, visual presence is important. So we're always kind of looking as we go into the season, you know, are these still the hot pockets? Should we spend more in Nashville this year than we normally do? And you just kind of play with the budget and put together a puzzle. And then I get my big boss, Adam, I say, close your eyes and sign this contract, please. And we're off and running.
I think I got just a slight little taste of the bonkers amount of planning you have to do during the World Series trophy tour a couple of years ago, when you shared the map of all of the potential places, and there were 150 stops that were going to be made on that, or that were made on that tour.
Yes.
And just looking at the map of all potential targets. So obviously more than 150, I was just, the emoji with the little head exploding. I feel like I'm using that more these days in text. That's kind of what I was like looking at that map.
That's how
crazy
I felt too. Yeah. But we made it happen, and it was really cool to be able to take our brand out, outside of these, you know, walls of Truist Park where we are. And so I neglected that as another part of my job is experiential marketing. So we define that as, how do we give fans an experience with our brand outside of this building. We understand that not everybody can come to a game every year. And me being an Augusta girl, we had a similar experience as you, Ricky. You know, once or twice a year, we'd get to load up and go on over to Turner Field and have a fun Saturday and get home, you know, past midnight. But yeah, that's a huge passion of mine, is taking our brand out into marketplaces, out to the Vidalia Onion Festival, you know, to places where people really might not think we would go, but we have fans everywhere and they're not just in big cities. And that's important to me. So it's fun to kind of meet them where they are and say, hey, we see you, we feel you, you are a big part of Braves country. And let's have some fun.
Yeah, I love that. As a somebody that grew up not here, the idea of Braves country always meant so much to me, because I do think it's everywhere. It really is. You hear Snit say it.
You do.
And it's because it's true. Braves country is everywhere. So what I love about this year's campaign and all the experiential things where you're getting out of just getting out there in Braves country and taking Braves to people who can't always make it here to Atlanta. So that's great. Well, you mentioned being from Augusta. So let's go to this. That's my favorite part of interviewing a coworker, is airing, even if it's not on the podcast, just in talking, like, how did you end up here? That's what I love to ask people, because my journey is I think pretty interesting and kind of different, but everybody's is. Yep. So just where are you from, and then how the path ended up leading you here? But let's start. You're from Augusta, right?
Yes, from Evans, Georgia, technically.
Okay.
Suburb of Augusta. So my parents moved us out to Georgia in the early 90s, so my dad could open up a chain of restaurants in South Carolina and Georgia. And so Augusta has been home since kindergarten. So, you know, I remember growing up, the TV would be on TBS. My parents would be watching the Braves. And I remember seeing Javi Lopez and thinking, that guy looks interesting. I think I want to watch him. And then you had Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones and the big pitchers. And my parents are huge sports fans and play. And I just remember the street we moved to. My mom says that I had a big tub of Barbies and dresses that I used to wear. And I looked outside and there was like 7 boys on the street outside playing street hockey and knockout. And I just put my Barbies down, went outside. Like, if I'm going to make friends, I got to be able to hold my own. And just kind of, you know, just turned into a tomboy, they would say. I don't even know if that's politically correct anymore, but I was out there.
So. I think it's fine.
I was out there with the boys, you know, just playing, hold my own. And I was like, okay, sports are really fun. I think I'm a little competitive. And there's one other girl on the street who became my best friend. Shout out to Christy. So she is a 2-time UGA NCAA national gymnast champion.
Oh,
so
wow.
She could hold her own too. So
dang.
It was us out there with the boys just having fun and turned into just playing travel softball and all through high school, and just had a love for baseball and softball specifically.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah. I think that's part of what I feel like a lot of people's, however the journey led you here, that's part of the origin is, well, for people of my generation, and you're a little bit younger than me, but probably your generation too, there's TBS factors into that Braves fandom somehow.
Yep.
Of course, that's evolved over the years, but there's a lot of that seeing the guy on TV and then going out and playing with your friends or playing local rec league.
Yeah.
Like I did. Stunk, by the way, but but still in my mind, I wanted to be David Justice, you
of
know?
Of course.
Or Javi Lopez, by the way, I interviewed Javi a couple years ago. He still looks very interesting.
He is rock solid still to this day.
Such an interesting, just a nice fella too.
Nice
on top
fella,
of it
right,
all.
Right.
The entire package. Okay, so coming out of high school, then where did you end up going to college? Which I already know this, but we'll let Braves country know where you went.
Yeah, I wasn't quite good enough to play softball at the D1 level. I was, you know, I kind of a nerd as well and really wanted to get an academic scholarship and go to a big university. So I was lucky enough to spend 4 years in Athens at UGA. It was amazing. And I had what I call my quarter life crisis. So I actually thought I wanted to be an obstetrician and deliver babies for a long time.
I did not know this.
I was like 10 years old to 20 years old. And I was sitting in organic chemistry one day and had legitimately a panic attack. Like my heart was racing. I was starting to lose vision. I had two friends in there that like walked me out and I was like, I don't know what just happened. But I realized later that day, I was like, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't like science. I don't like this at all. This is not what I'm passionate about. I just wanted to help people, which I thought could be fun. But the next day I went and switched my major to finance. So I was like, I'll join the business school. You can do anything in business. Finance seems like a really practical kind of degree to have. And from there, I applied to the Terry College of Business has this really awesome leadership program that you can apply to. It's called the Institute for Leadership Advancement. And there's about 30 kids that they choose. They probably felt bad for me because I told them I had a panic attack and a major crisis and I need some help. But I was part of that group, which was founded by Earl Leonard, who's a big guy at Coke. And through that, the whole purpose of that is to figure out what are you passionate about? And I remember Mr. Leonard said, if you're going to spend 60% of your life, at least 60% working, you better figure out something you like to do. So I said, well, what do I like to do? Well, I like to play sports. I like to watch sports. Let's try that. Except I had no connections. I had no network. I had nothing. So I went to Mr. Leonard and kind of sat down with him when he was on campus one day and just said, hey, I'm really interested in sports. I love it. I love all sports. Do you know anybody? And he said, yeah, like literally picked up the phone right then in his office, called over to the UGA Athletic Association. Was like, hey, I got a student here, very enterprising young woman, as he would say in his old Southern drawl, and immediately sent me over to the Athletic Association. Like I didn't have time to prepare anything, but I got to meet some folks over there and ended up walking out with kind of being an intern for Lauren Smith in sports information. He's a columnist, he's got syndicated columnist radio show, amazing guy. So I worked 3 days a week in sports information and 3 days a week in the marketing department and just got to get my foot in the door in the athletics world. And I remember Lauren called me one day when I was He's like, Jory, what are you doing? I said, I'm walking to my microeconomics class. He said, how about you come with me? We're going to go to Washington, Georgia, and we're gonna interview a major league umpire, and I'm going to write a column about him. So that sounds like a lot more fun than microeconomics. So we drove to Washington. Washington, Georgia, not too far from Athens, and we interviewed Marvin Hudson, who this was back in 2008 or 9, was kind of a young MLB umpire. Now he's a crew chief and still in the game and one of the best in the business. And it was so fascinating to hear what's the life of an umpire like. You know, it was fascinating. So had a lot of really cool stories like that. Lauren had a buddy at the Major League Baseball commissioner's office because I was graduating with a finance degree. All of my friends were signing these, you know, signing bonuses to go to Wall Street and work at these big firms. And I'm just trying to like find something to do. Maybe they'll pay me. Maybe they won't. I don't even really care. But was able enough or lucky enough to get an internship at Major League Baseball at the commissioner's office and worked for a summer in their international marketing department. So that was the team that put on the World Baseball Classics and the, you know, when the Mets and Marlins play a series in Puerto Rico or in now it's South Korea and London or wherever, you know, it was that kind of group. So I got to see how baseball was growing at a grassroots level. Twitter had just kind of come on the scene. So we did a lot of research on how to get players using social media. How do you get the Latin guys into it and all of that? And then from there, you know, it was like, I will never have a savings account if I stay in New York City. Like,
yeah,
this
no kidding.
Place is what, a lot of fun.
What year were you up there?
That was the summer of 2010.
Right, no kidding. Okay. So I was up there with MLB two summers later. And it's just so interesting because a lot of the stuff you're talking about 2 years later, they were, I don't know, further down the road is the right term, but those were some of the things they were still working on. And yeah, were still my reason for being there was that whole, the Twitter thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's so interesting. And also, I lived there for 6 months. It was great. There's just, no way I'd I'd be a penniless man right now if I stayed there. So fun time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
But yeah, okay, so moving on. So you get the internship and then moving on from there.
Yeah, right. So, you know, my time was wrapping up in New York. I had kind of told them they actually offered me a position to stay, but I was like, I don't know that I'm going to thrive here. But they were like, you know, if you're kind of from Georgia in the South, the Atlanta Braves have this really great trainee program, which I had not heard about at all. But I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. And it's for college grads and, you know, a whole year kind of long internship. You've talked to a lot of folks in the office and had them on the podcast who are trainees. And so I felt like I had built my resume enough to, you know, have a good shot at becoming a Braves trainee. And threw my hat in the ring and ended up being hired for the 2011 year in the corporate partnerships group. So shout out to Mark Lehman, who took me to lunch at On the Border and and offered me the job. And so I spent 2011 with the team as a trainee. If you'll remember, that is still in the midst of the recession that we were in. So they pretty much told all the trainees, like, sorry, you're not getting hired. Which was fine, but that was back in the day too, when a lot of folks were kind of going back and forth between the Braves and Turner Broadcasting, and, you know, especially when Ted had owned both of those, people would go back and forth all the time. So the folks at the Braves were really helpful in just setting me up with informational interviews, and I actually landed at Turner Broadcasting and held a number of positions there in different divisions for about 7 years. And then my current role kind of came open, and I was like, you know what, it would be nice to kind of go back to the team side of things. And it's much smaller than, you know, a big corporation like Turner was. And I was just kind of lucky enough to reach back out to Mark, who put me in contact with the marketing folks. And here I am. It's been now 7 years here.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great story. I think John Moses, who you mentioned earlier, he and I, this is our second year, each of us mentor some of the trainees.
Yep.
I did it for the first time last year, and I immediately, when they asked to do it again, I was like, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Just because I enjoyed it so much. And I had my first meeting with my trainee group last week, I guess it was. And I was telling them, you know, whether there's a position here for you full time next year or not, I was like, focus on this. The biggest step is out of the way if you want to work in sports, and that's, you got your foot in the door. You're here.
Yeah.
So now make the most of it. And I think that's, and it's tough. Like you enter into it. And then my gig with MLB years ago was similar in that I entered into it knowing that 99% chance that there's an expiration date on this at the end of this season, that I'm not going to be brought back. So it's a kind of a tough thing because you're worried about your future. But at the same time, I feel like if you're making the most of that opportunity, it will work itself out at the end. And it will, the next door will open. And I think that's clearly what happened with you, because one door, you did your best, that opened another door.
Exactly.
And that eventually led you here. Well, what, kind of piggybacking off of that, what would your advice be to someone who wants to work in the sports world?
Honestly, my number one piece of advice, especially for younger folks who are middle school, high school, even in college, I tell them, try and get on with your collegiate athletic association, whether it's, you know, D1, D2, D3. I mean, a lot of those positions are unpaid. I took a number of unpaid internships throughout the year, or throughout my path, to where my dad was like, you ever going to let someone pay you to work? And I was like, I mean, I guess that's the goal eventually. But yeah, I would just say get plugged in as early as you can. Even if you're still in high school, like, you know, volunteer or work with your local rec department. You know, anytime that I see a resume and I see that someone has some kind of sports experience, I know that they're passionate enough to try and already kind of make it work or get some experience. If you are kind of already graduated and maybe you're in an industry that you're not super passionate about. I mean, I think even just kind of the cold emails on LinkedIn, you know, just kind of find some sort of mutual connection, or, you know, that's why the importance of a network is so great. I mean, I have the main thing I did my trainee year when I was here in corporate partnerships was get to know as many of those decision makers as I could personally. You know, that they're sports marketers from Coca-Cola and Home Depot and, you know, Delta. Like, I needed to know them because, like you said, like, this probably wasn't going to be a full-time thing for me. So I want to plant as many seeds as I can, conduct myself professionally, and be able to kind of reach out to folks if I needed to. And I've had amazing mentors who have introduced me to people and gone out of their way to help me. Shout out to Sharon Byers at, you know, formerly at Coke. She's been amazing to me. And now her daughter's in college and I'm helping her try and, you know, get internships and find things. So lean on your network, build a network in the first place. But don't be afraid to just reach out to folks and pick their brain. And one mistake I made was thinking that sports meant working for a team or a league. But there are the networks and the broadcasters, there's agencies, there's the big corporations like the Coca-Colas. They probably have three or four sports marketing agencies that they work with to execute and activate. So, you know, broaden your scope of what you think working in sports is. It's much, much bigger than, you know, the 30 or 32 teams in your league and the league itself.
That's so true. I immediately thought of a fellow Braves fan. He and I go back to the MLB Fan Cave days, huge Braves fan, huge baseball fan, but through his kind of experience and trying to originally going into baseball, he's now worked for Xfinity on the NASCAR side as their social media manager and has had a heck of a life. I think he's been there almost a decade now.
Yeah.
In an area that I wouldn't have even thought about years ago that exists now. It's with a huge partner of NASCAR and being their social media manager. And he's very much involved in the sports part of it every single week and on the road traveling.
Yep.
So he's in Vegas last week. He's in Daytona 2 weeks ago. He was here in Atlanta last week. So that's such great advice. Love that. I want to just real quick call out something you said earlier too, that I think is so important. If you're of that age group that you're talking about, finding something that you like doing is so, so important, because I truly believe, I don't know what the number is, but I think the vast majority of folks probably don't really love what they do.
Yeah.
And that's the sad nature of it. I think there's a section of people that don't necessarily hate what they do, but don't love it. They're fine with it. There's a section of people who hate what they do. And I've been there in the past. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there, I think, at one point or another. But if you're lucky, or if you really apply yourself, I think you can end up like you and me, where you really look forward to going to work every day and love what you're doing.
Yeah.
So trying to hone in on that early on. Funny story, when I was about 7th, 8th grade, we had a career day, like where we could find somebody locally and shadow them for a day. Mm-hmm. I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So I went and shadowed our local family doctor, and it was kind of fun. But science was also my worst class, and I don't really have a steady hand. So
yeah, I did the same thing. I watched a few births.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
As a college student, and I was like, this is not, no, yeah. I think I'm good here. Let's go in another direction. But like you said, I mean, I like to tell kids, like, kids who love to play video games, like, how do you think you're playing the video game? Somebody had to design it and think it up and build it. And, you know, if you're an accountant, like, video game companies have accountants and human resource professionals, and, you know, like, whatever you like to do, there's some sort of industry there, whether you like to go fishing, you know, whether it could be anything. There's an industry out there that needs jobs to create those products that you love using and experiencing. So kind of think about it in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, you've been very generous with your time. So I got one more question.
Yes.
Actually, I'm sorry. I got two more questions. I lied. So I've got a selfish question and then a Braves related question.
Cool.
So, and I even wrote in my notes, I have a selfish question because I'm just being honest. So I'm going to be a parent for the first time in a couple of months, which I'm very excited about.
You should be.
I know that you gave me a hint yesterday that while during your travels for work in Nashville, Baby Mast picked up a gift from Joy Palmer. I can't wait to see what that's going to be.
Sure did.
I'm extremely excited about that. Now, being a first time parent, I admittedly, I have no idea what I'm doing. We had our first baby shower last weekend, had a carload full of stuff. I maybe know what 10% of it even is or does. So I am like completely blind about this whole thing, but learning as I go.
Yes.
One of the many things I admire about you is not only do you perform your job at a very high level, you do it while also having three young children.
They are quite young.
Yeah. So, this is 100% a selfish question on my part, but one of the things like I care about my career a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do such a good job with the balance of that? Like, how do you perform your job so well and still also have that work-life balance of being a parent? As a soon-to-be working dad, like, I want to be like Jory when I grow up and become a working dad. So how do I do that?
That is very kind of you to say, because most days I'm like, I should probably be on medication. No, I think the biggest blessing I have, aside from the three children, which are big blessings, is just having a husband who is supportive and on my team and knows that my career is important to me too. Do I have to work? No, but I'd like to, and I like to be a good example, especially for my two girls, that yeah, you can work in sports if you want. You can have a cool job. The biggest thing I've learned is just communication. Like, it's not that once you have kids, you have to stop traveling and have to stop doing all these things, but it's like you have to communicate with your partner on, you got to go through each week. Okay, what do we have on Monday? What do we have on Tuesday? Who needs to pick up the kids and take them this place or that place? You just have to really prepare and kind of plan out your weeks ahead. And then you have to give yourself a whole lot of grace. A whole lot, because you're going to screw up. I just realized I got an email today that it's my two-year-old's picture day at daycare. I have no idea what she's wearing. Didn't fix her hair. Pretty sure she has shoes on. But, you know, things are going to fall through the cracks. I think the best piece of advice I got was think of everything you are and do as a stove. And you've got kind of pots on the burners in front. And you've got stuff on the back burners. And the key is to not let one thing stay too hot or too cold too long. You know, don't let one area. There's no such thing as total balance. Making sure things don't stay out of balance for too long. Like, some days I really need to be mom or wife. Or some days, like, you know, yesterday when I was up in Nashville, I had to be work Jory for a couple of days. But you're also a friend and a daughter and all these different things, which can feel really heavy to be intentional all the time in all these ways. But it's just kind of moving things around and just kind of knowing, like, this week, here's what I need to be or where I need to be. And then just kind of making sure that nothing stays out of balance for too long, because it's absolutely impossible to keep it all balanced and keep your sanity.
I love that. That's the story. I'm going to be able and see, for people like me, I need an analogy like that I can hang on to that makes sense. And the stove, that is such a perfect, that yes. was tailor made for my brain, because I can absorb that and I can remember that. And that makes so much sense. Thank you for that. And I love that you mentioned particularly being an example for your girls, because mm-hmm. I'm going to be a girl dad. So yeah. that's something again, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. Is like, I want to set that example of like, hey, you can do whatever it is you want to do.
Sure.
You can work in whatever area it is you want to do. Don't let any sort of stereotypes or norms that are out there dictate to you what your path is going to be. Because I truly believe it. You can do whatever it is you want to do. As yes. long as you apply yourself and do it the right way.
Yep. As long as you put in the effort.
Yeah.
That's big it. In our household. No one's a victim. You yep. can do whatever you want as long as you work your butt off. It's not going to be given to you and you're not a victim. But dream big. And just work harder than everyone else and just see where it takes you.
That's it. It sounds simple. It isn't, but it is simple advice, and it's the correct advice in my opinion.
Yes.
So, all right. Last question. Braves question. Work question.
All right.
What are some exciting things that Braves Country should be excited about? There's some things that Braves Country should be excited about that you've been working on for the 2024 season.
Oh, gosh. This is a good question. I will say that we still have a couple of gate giveaways to announce.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, we're able to kind of announce all of our bobbleheads all at once. And that's just not the way it works for a number of reasons. But we've got some really unique, really cool giveaways that I think our fans are really going to love.
I know what they are.
You do.
And I'm not going to tell y'all either, but you're going to be happy when you see them.
You're in the loop. Yeah. You know, we're also launching our Braves Country road trip again. So you mentioned the trophy tour, which went to 151 stops. It almost killed me. I survived it. I'm here to tell the tale.
It made you stronger.
It did. But we're going to some new towns this year that we haven't been to, and some new kind of events. So I'm really excited to announce that. Maybe even end of this week or next week. So I think Braves fans can be excited to hopefully have to not travel too far to interact with the team. And then the last thing I would say is, given that the All-Star game is going to be in Texas this year, I think our fans can anticipate a really fun themed Vote Braves campaign. I think our fans do a really good job at appreciating the effort we put into the Hollywood theme when it was in LA, and, you know, the Seattle coffee theme when it was in Seattle last year. And I think people are kind of catching on. So I think they'll be really, I think they'll get a kick out of, you know, what we might be doing around an All-Star game in Texas.
It's really fun. It's one of the most fun times in our department is the All-Star campaign every year. We do the work, but I always find that to be, at least on the social side, it's one of the more just fun things we get to do. Like, we're excited to come to work. Like, you mentioned the Hollywood theme, like just us, the social team sitting down with the creative team, just going, all right, what are some fun movie posters we could just make? Or what's something that happened last night that we could turn into another movie poster to kind of help support All-Star? So
exactly.
It's always fun. And I was in Arlington last summer, and I'm excited for the All-Star game out there. It's going to be great. And not as great as it's going to be in 2025. Just throwing that out there.
That's right. That is a big part of what I'm doing too, is already prepping for that. So have me back on this time next year, and maybe we can talk about everything going on.
I'm writing you down in right now. I've already kept you longer than I said I was going to, but thank you so much, Jory. Very much appreciate you.
Thank you, Ricky. Thanks for having me.